Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we start with Kamala Harris and the border, and then we get into some breaking news regarding hydroxychloroquine, the vaccine, and treatments that might make your blood boil. It's more and more clear we were lied to, intentionally, for a purpose. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank some of our supporters that have been so generous. I want to thank Lori for your generous support from Harrison, Tennessee. Thank you. Carrie from Bixby, Oklahoma, for your generous support. Thank you. Debbie for your monthly support. Thank you. Lisa from Vermont. Thank you. Sykin from Boston. Thank you. At charliekirk.com/support, you allow us to help us achieve our goal of reaching millions of young people through all of our different channels of communication at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about $1 a day, to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out. Relieffactor.com. What is identity politics? Identity politics is the overemphasis on appropriating political power based on things that you cannot change. Identity politics is caring about traits that you are born with, such as your sex or your race. Now, in a bizarre thing, the left no longer cares about sex because they're actually trying to get rid of the term women. We're going to get into that story later in this hour. Literally, they are rewriting in Biden's infrastructure bill or whatever bill he's passing that women that have children should be called birth-giving humans. Is that the new thing? There's something around that. Anyway, identity politics is a phrase you hear a lot, but it's rarely ever described and rarely ever articulated the danger around it. So let me do my best. Identity politics does not emphasize character. It does not emphasize action. It does not emphasize results. Identity politics is all about caring about, is all about elevating and platforming people that look a certain way. So what's the danger in that? Well, the overemphasis on this idea of breaking a ceiling of the first of this and the first of that and the first of this, by definition and using the laws of logic, means that you're going to get government and leaders that run your government that might check some box of being the first ever black lesbian person in a wheelchair from an island in the South Pacific, but they might not know actually how to run your government or have awful ideas. I asked this question out of a conservative audience quite often, and I got it from my dear friend, Dennis Prager. Would you rather have 9 white liberal men on the U.S. Supreme Court or 9 black women lesbian conservatives on the Supreme Court. Of course, every conservative in the world would say, I would rather have 9 conservative black lesbian women on the Supreme Court, because we actually think that the ideas matter a lot more than the skin color of a human being. This was the push to get Sotomayor on the court. Well, we need a woman of color on the court. Yeah, what are they going to think things differently? You see, this entire idea of identity politics is trying to start a conversation that we put to bed a long time ago on genetic racial differences, on trying to categorize people based on things they cannot change. And they're trying to force a conversation that will result in even more racial segregation and identitarian politics. But the media can't help themselves, because the activist media, they tend to be so focused on maintaining political power, but they're distracted by how someone looks, not what they're doing or what they think. This is best articulated in my friend's show, Tucker Carlson, who, by the way, Tucker Carlson is having his Michael Jordan 90s moment lately. Night after night, he knows a lot of people are watching, and he keeps on performing. Every night, it's much-watched television. I was just on Monday, and I say this as someone who is a very harsh critic of communication and television. I am blown away at his ability night after night to hit it perfectly, say things that people know to be true in a way that's unique, exhilarating, and entertaining. Play cut 57 from Tucker's show, a montage of the media on Kamala Harris being a minority woman who's a child of immigrants. This montage is remarkable. Not once do they mention her accomplishments, what she's going to do, what she's done, her actions, her character. No, all that matters is what she looks like. Cut 57.
A mom of color up there talking, about these situations. I think it is important.
The child of immigrants, first black, first South Asian woman is going to represent us in Guatemala today. I mean, I would really kill to be a fly on that wall in those meetings.
Remember, she is the first woman vice president. She's the first woman of color vice president. And this trip will start to shape how Americans view her.
The fact that Kamala Harris is visiting there as the first woman, female vice president, the first woman of color to visit that region, herself a child of immigrants, that speaks volumes as well to the people of those countries.
Yeah, it speaks volumes to the people of Guatemala. You know the way that we're going to get Guatemalans to stop coming to America? We're going to send someone that sort of looks like them. Do you understand what they're saying? That's going to speak volumes to the people of Guatemala. No, it won't. You see, most of the 20th century and the casualties and the blood and the suffering of the 20th century was because of the overemphasis on identity politics. Was because that there were nations that were trying to be created based on what people looked like. And the left, but they're a bunch of tricksters, I'll tell you. They know what they're doing here. They're trying to just have you say, yeah, I guess that's a good thing that we have. What do they say? A black, Asian, what's the list? Black, Asian, unqualified, low IQ, aspirational, power-hungering, Eva Perón type as vice president, whatever it might be, right? The point is that this conversation about how we elect leaders has become so juvenile. And of course, the border crisis is something that needs to be addressed. Kamala Harris is very uninterested in doing that. Tom Holman said it the best, who ran the border under Donald Trump. Cut 56. Tom Holman said, if you bring me back, I'll secure the border in 3 days. Cut 56.
We're building billions of dollars in processing centers to process people quickly and release them. They think that's a good optic because it shows there's no overcrowding. Nothing to see here. But the truth is, when you make it easier for people to come into the country and get released quicker, that's just going to bring more. So, you know, they need to talk to the experts on the border. Look, bring me back. Bring me back. I'll secure the border in 3 days. 3 days, because I'll reinstitute the Trump policies, and I'll tell the progressive left to shut up. If they don't like what's being done on the border, then legislate like you're supposed to legislate and fix the laws.
And the current plan, as Tucker Carlson said in Cut 37, is to bribe poor people not to come to America. I recently walked down Scottsdale Road in Scottsdale, Arizona, where there's a very nice hotel that is housing foreign national border jumpers and illegals in Scottsdale, costing U.S. taxpayers over $384 a night. So if any of you can't afford a summer vacation, here's my recommendation. Go buy a ticket to Mexico City, illegally re-enter your own country, and you can stay at a hotel, $384 a night in Scottsdale, Arizona. Play tape.
On Sunday, Harris flew to Guatemala to unveil her policy to address the crisis. What is it? In a word, the plan is bribery. The administration plans to spend billions of dollars to pay Latin America's poor not to move to the United States. But there's nothing actually new about this. We've seen this cartoon before. So we've tried it. How'd it work exactly? Well, let's see. We now have more people from Central America coming over our border illegal than at any time in decades, possibly ever. So it didn't work very well. That's obvious to everyone but Joe Biden, who doesn't seem to have noticed.
When you subsidize something, you get more of that something. When you incentivize it, and your incentive structure is to try to have the flow of Nicaraguans, Guatemalans, El Salvadorians, and Mexicans into America, don't be surprised when hundreds of thousands of people pour over into your country. This is a vote tabulation scheme being concocted by the Democrat Party. Get as many poor third world voters into America as possible, as quickly as possible. Use them as a political weapon in football. They'll have natural-born children that become citizens, and they'll hopefully vote for us. There's one problem with that. The Democrats, they do not want more Eastern Europeans. They don't want more Poles or Lithuanians or Estonians or Latvians or Norwegians or Bulgarians or Hungarians or Swiss or Austrians or Serbs or Croats or Bosnians or Albanians. They don't want any more of those people. No, they want people that are more likely to vote for a heavy hand of government. But that is actually being put in jeopardy. In fact, don't be surprised, and this is a pretty radical opinion, that the more Republicans have success with Latino and Hispanic voters in places like McAllen, Texas, which we covered extensively yesterday, all of a sudden the Democrats are going to want to build a border wall. They're going to say, you know what, actually, let's go and have a bunch of people from Mogadishu come in, because we know how they're going to vote. It's true. We do know how they're going to vote. The Somali community in Minnesota is very Democrat, which is very bizarre to me. I actually think there's this very interesting opening that's about to, all we have to do is expose it. We just have to just press it. We just have to push it a little bit. Just push, which is do the Muslims in America realize that all of their very socially conservative values are at direct odds with everything that the party they're voting for believes in? Muslims are allegedly pro-life. Muslims do not think very kindly about gay people. So what do they think about all these pride flags all over the place? Anyway, that is a conversation that I'm just going to try to incite, quite honestly. I want to incite that kind of conversation amongst the Democrats and the gay lobby and the radical Muslim fundamentalists in our country. Different conversation for a different time. So breaking in the last 24 hours, charliekirk.com, I'm reading this, and I'm going to read it precisely because if you're watching on YouTube, the sword of Damocles could come down on me at any time. The axe of cancellation. Quote, Cleveland study finds that those who have had SARS-CoV-2 are, quote, unlikely to benefit from the COVID-19 vaccination. The Cleveland Clinic releases a study finding that individuals have been previously infected with COVID-19 receive no additional benefits from the vaccination. The study titled, quote, The Necessity of COVID-19 Vaccination in Previously Infected Individuals. The study, this is pretty amazing. The study was conducted on 52,000 people. This is not a small sample size, okay? This is not some sort of Nate Silver New York Times flash poll with 600 people, all of which are in the Bronx. No, this is 52,000 employees. This is a study comparing different scenarios of previously infected and vaccinated individuals. The conclusion simply stated, quote, individuals who have had SARS-CoV-2, which is what they call the Chinese coronavirus, infection are unlikely to benefit from the COVID-19 vaccination. And vaccines can be safely prioritized to those who have not been infected before. So why is it that we are proceeding on a mass inoculation strategy when the evidence shows if you already had it, you don't need it? So shouldn't you just have to take an antibodies test? And if you have the antibodies, why are you going after this Chinese coronavirus vaccine. We'll make sure our language is whatever the website says, pajama people. We'll get it right. I'm just curious. And we just ask questions here about the vaccine. Again, if you've got the vaccine and you're listening to this, I hope it works out for you. I'm not going to say I'm anti. I'm not going to say I'm pro. Instead, I'm curious. That's my stance when it comes to mass inoculation. I am vaccine curious. Another study that has come out shows the power and the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine. Do you remember that drug that I was touting and Trump was touting that we were said, you cannot use hydroxychloroquine. You cannot use ivermectin. Can't use that. The only way to protect yourself is to lock yourself down and use the Chinese coronavirus vaccine. What would America have looked like if we would have had widespread usage of hydroxychloroquine? How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. Then they use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data onto other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. So what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP cannot see your identity. That's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. Just download the app, tap one button, and your device, and you're protected. And ExpressVPN does all this without slowing down your connection. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me private online. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to learn more. The fight that is coming up this summer, I want you to listen very carefully, and we need to mobilize our ranks together. Regardless of your political viewpoint, regardless of your religious views, we must stand together in solidarity against mandatory vaccines, mandatory inoculations. And there are some massive developments I'm going to share with you on that today. 178 hospital workers in Texas suspended for refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine. The Houston Methodist Hospital employees were suspended 2 weeks without pay for refusing to get vaccinated. I want to find these 178 employees and I want to help them. These 178 employees who are on the front lines of our healthcare system have decided they don't want to get the vaccine. But the Houston Methodist Hospital is forcing them. Jennifer Bridges says, quote, no one should be forced to put something into their body if they're not comfortable with it. Amen. She says, I'm not anti-vaccine. I've had every vaccine known to man, except this one. As nurses and medical staff, everybody feels like you should have the right to choose what you put in your body. And we know the left has always been full of horse pucky on this. My body, my choice. They've never believed that. Of course not. No, instead, it's we get to choose what concoction that we want to put into you. Now, I'm going to say this just straight off the website, so you could take this however you want. According to the VAERS website, from December 14th, 2020 through May 24th, 2021, during this time, VAERS received 4,863 reports of deaths among people who received a COVID-19 vaccine. You can draw your own conclusions. I read that straight from the website. And these 178 hospital workers are saying, time out here. Hold on. Do we really have to get vaccinated? And they're saying yes. What if I told you there is a creation of a new caste system in America? One that violates, what is that, the 14th Amendment? Yay, 14th. I know my constitution. Let me read you this text message I got. Actually, it was an email we got at freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie. All California employees for now will have to continue wearing masks at work virtually all the time, regardless of their vaccination status. According to the revised COVID-19 safety rules just adopted by the California Occupational Safety and Health Standards, OSHSB. According to the revised Emergency Temporary Standards, OSHSB, which is the OSHA equivalent, adopted on June 3rd, a fully vaccinated employee need not wear a mask at work only when the employee is, quote, alone in the room, in a room in which everyone is fully vaccinated or working outdoors and has no COVID-19 symptoms. It goes on to say, California's OSHA is also installing new rules to create a second class citizens of the non-vaccinated. The unwashed is what they're called. And Gavin Newsom, while he's at French Laundry enjoying his $35,000 bottle of wine, playing war games with Zuckerberg, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, and Bezos. Okay, the second part was made up, but the other part is half true. New employer rules kick in the 15th of June, this is in California, and require all employers to track the vaccination status, provide testing, and keep all employees masked if 100% have not been vaccinated. The non-vaccinated folks to wear N95 masks and or will be segregated from other employees. Again, that feels like a violation of the 14th Amendment. Isn't it interesting how you're able to develop some form of improvement on your society that, I don't know, segregation is bad, categorization on skin color not good, and then we just resort back to it. It's almost as if human beings are naturally programmed based on our nature to do things a certain way. Gavin Newsom has an opportunity to override these burdensome and outrageous guidelines, and we need noise and business owners to be, this is an email we got, to be aware that they are now health monitors and also they can carry the costs of masks, testing, and separation requirements. This is why I love the American Republic system of the consent to the governed. I think Gavin Newsom actually might stand up and help here because he's under threat of a recall. The fact that Newsom's under a threat of a recall means he might actually keep these people in check. We'll see. And so people are now being forced to get the Chinese coronavirus vaccine. And if you are watching this and you are a Catholic, I'm not a Catholic, but I'm a very pro-Catholic evangelical. I have an action item for you. Did you know that the creme de la creme, the top level of Catholic schooling in the country, Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, is requiring every student to get vaccinated even against their will. So if you are a Catholic, I encourage you to go to nd.edu. Of course, the front page of Notre Dame, it says we're promoting cultural fluency, whatever that is. I encourage you to go there and contact Notre Dame and say, I am a Catholic and we are all part of the same Catholic family. And I find it to be morally reprehensible at the Catholic School of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, you are forcing children to get the vaccine against their will. And we still do not know all the side effects. That could have issues with fertility, that could have issues with long-term viability. Now, there's some debate whether or not there are fetal cells in this particular vaccine. I don't know if that's true or not. But some vaccines do have aborted fetal tissue. But what if I told you that instead of a mass inoculation strategy, instead of a hyper-aggressive vaccination campaign and program, what if I told you that halfway around the world in a country that is much poorer than America, they were able to stem the tide of a spike in the Chinese coronavirus based on something that we've known about for quite some time, that if you mentioned, you were kicked off of social media. If you talked about, you were attacked from every direction. And that is hydroxychloroquine. Breaking today, a new study shows that hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin improve the survival of ventilated COVID-19 patients by nearly 200%. So the CDC, the NIH, the NIAID, Dr. Fauci, all these guys were on a campaign against hydroxychloroquine. How many of your friends could have survived? You know how many of my friends that died from the Chinese coronavirus could have survived if they were given hydroxychloroquine? I don't know. But we were told by a mass propaganda campaign that hydroxychloroquine does not work. At this very interesting website called India Today, It looks legit. I have no reason to believe it isn't legit. I poked through it the best I could. And if it isn't, then I'll correct myself. But it's by this article by the name of Prabash K. Dutta. He is from New Delhi. He published this article at 7:52 India Standard Time, IST. It says that, quote, remember Donald Trump touted hydroxychloroquine? Study in India backs it as a COVID-19. He uses the C word cure. Again, for all of you in Menlo Park that just rolled out of bed that have too much power, that went to MIT or Cal Berkeley or Caltech, and you have a high IQ but very, very low self-esteem, and you're a sociopath, please don't kick off our stream. And if you do, more people go to Rumble, so that will be fine. But I'm just reading an article by Prabash K. Dutta, a good brother halfway around the world who cares about truth and not power, unlike you. Hydroxychloroquine, the malaria drug touted as a magical COVID-19 cure by former U.S. President Trump last year, has been found effective in a prophylactic study published in the Journal of Association of Physicians of India. I'm reading from indiatoday.in. Hydroxychloroquine, according to the Association of Physicians of India, last week published, showed that the highest prevention rate of 72% was found among those given hydroxychloroquine over 6 weeks or a long duration. The study said when adjusted for other risk factors, HCQ dose, as per government recommendations, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 more weeks reduced the probability of COVID positivity by 34%, 48%, and 72%. The study was conducted May to September last year when HCQ was still part of the Union Health Ministry's recommendation in treatment protocol for COVID-19. Remember when Donald Trump tried to promote hydroxychloroquine? And how did they push back against him? They pushed back against him by saying Donald Trump was a shareholder in hydroxychloroquine. The most insane line of attack I think I've ever seen. So just so you know, hydroxychloroquine is an anti-malarial. A lot of Americans take hydroxychloroquine for lupus. One of my dear friends from Fredericksburg, Texas does. It's cheap. It's abundant. It's widespread. It's easy to use. And quite honestly, this very well could have stemmed the tide of the pandemic back in June. But then Donald Trump would have got credit for being able to do that. You see, this crisis was necessary to bring in mail-in balloting. This crisis was necessary to try to realign public health, deteriorate our currency, inflate our currency. And what if everyone was walking around not with a shot or a jab from some vaccine from Johnson & Johnson or Moderna or Pfizer, companies I do not trust as far as I could throw them, but instead, what if they were walking around with a pill that gave them the confidence of a prophylactic? And by the way, in Africa, it's widespread. Hydroxychloroquine is widespread. And isn't it interesting that we never heard about widespread Chinese coronavirus deaths or infections in many poor countries in Africa? They were still suffering, don't get me wrong, but it was nowhere near the widespread suffering of Italy, was it? Why is it that some countries in Africa were able to navigate this better? Could it be that this anti-malarial, according to indiatoday.in, says that the study in India backs it as a COVID-19 treatment, and they use the C word cure by my friend, who I've never met, but I love him because he's a truth teller, Prabash K. Dutta from New Delhi. Why is our press not covering this? Why are we mandating our college kids to get the vaccine? Why are we telling our high school kids they have to get the vaccine? Why are we telling 8-year-olds they have to get the vaccine? How many more billions do we have to give Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer and Moderna before we ask ourselves, is there another way? Is there a cheaper, faster, safer, more reliable way that doesn't involve mass inoculation? We ask the questions that matter. Is it time to stop renting and buy your first home? Owning your home is an investment in your future, and with today's low rates, now is the time to do it. Often with mortgage payment, it's the same as rent, so why pay for someone else's mortgage payment? Going through the mortgage process for the first time means you're going to have lots of questions. You need someone you can trust. I recommend Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. These guys are honest, trustworthy professionals who can answer all of your questions and walk you through the entire process. They help first-time homebuyers and put the actual plan together. And because Andrew and Todd are bankers, not brokers, Andrew and Todd and their team personally work with you from the start to finish. You always have someone in your corner. I've heard
amazing things about Andrew and Todd. So take the first step towards home ownership. You know you want to. Just go online and answer a few questions at andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. If you guys are a mortgage, maybe you're looking to buy a home, do it while rates are low. Go to andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com. So to answer the question that I said earlier, it says, does the COVID-19 vaccine contain aborted fetal cells? The answer is no, but they were tested on fetal cell lines. They performed confirmation tests. Johnson & Johnson used fetal cell lines in vaccine development, confirmation, and production. Fetal cell lines grow in a laboratory. Those individual cells from the 70s and 80s have since multiplied into new cells, and they do not contain any tissue from a fetus. Vaccine makers may use these fetal cell lines in any of the following three stages of development. Allegedly, the Catholic Church is perfectly fine with the vaccine being tested on fetal cell lines. I want you to imagine if all of a sudden our press told you the truth about hydroxychloroquine. Just the facts. Do you think all of a sudden this multi-billion dollar wealth transfer to the pharmaceutical companies would have happened? Do you think that the control that still hovers over so many of us would still exist? You see, we talk about marijuana being a gateway drug. I'm not a big fan of marijuana. I've talked about this. Not everyone agrees with me on it. Thanks for listening. At least we'll keep it interesting. But I'm going to tell you a true gateway drug. What if I told you that the perpetual fear-mongering surrounding the Chinese coronavirus, what if I told you the pushback against hydroxychloroquine, what if I told you the insistence to get vaccinated, what if I told you all of that was a gateway drug for mail-in ballots? What if I told you all of that was a gateway drug to defeat Donald Trump? What if I told you it was a gateway drug to try to elevate public health officials to be the new most powerful people in America? I'm afraid to say that Rahm Emanuel's most famous statement back when he was chief of staff of Barack Obama of never letting a crisis go to waste, there was a masterclass this last year. Never let a crisis go to waste. Okay, we'll bail out the states that we otherwise wouldn't have an excuse to do. Never let a crisis go to waste. We'll have mail-in ballots sent to every single person that has ever lived in the continent of North America. Never let a crisis go to waste. We are going to flex our muscles and give a handout to the pharmaceutical companies. Never let a crisis go to waste. We're going to destroy 40% of American small businesses. Never let a crisis go to waste. We're going to use this as an excuse to kick off dissident voices of social media. Never let a crisis go to waste. We're going to have young children stare at a screen all day long while they're masked up. Then suicide goes up and depression goes up. And we medicate them earlier so they're more obedient and less restless and less likely to challenge authority. Never let a crisis go to waste. We're going to bail out the failing public schools because for the virus reasons, they weren't able to hit their benchmarks. Never let a crisis go to waste. We're now going to not have the vote counting and tabulation centers done transparently because all of a sudden we need to keep 95,000 miles away from each other so you can count the votes safely and securely. You never let a crisis go to waste. All of a sudden the civility that we existed between one another disappears because we're masking ourselves and keeping dozens of feet between each other. You see, hydroxychloroquine and these other treatments, these anti-malarial treatments, and understanding what we were dealing with might have destroyed that crisis not going to waste. This whole thing of fundamental transformation, as you feel your country has been radically changed from race to education to medicine to masks, it all stemmed on this belief that there was no way you could protect yourself. It was based on fear, not on truth. And my prayer is that we learn our lesson and this never happens again. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.